Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network. You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Ed Stetzer,
who last time said that we should update this introduction. I'm going to say that every time until you update the introduction, because I think, listen, folks, would you just put in the reviews that you leave on like iTunes and stuff, say this introduction has grown wearying and tired. And I want you to do that.
Hey, okay.
Think people will do that?
I'll one up you. In the reviews on Apple Podcasts, instead of saying that, give us a new introduction. Tell us what you think would be a great introduction.
And I will do it. I will do whatever they say. Whatever it is, I will do. This is, if they want me to do it in like verse or rhyme, I will do that.
What's your favorite music genre?
Oh, 80s rock ballads.
Okay, so you will do it in 80s rock ballad.
That's true.
With a
big mullet.
So let
me ask you a question. So I did have a mullet. I mean, it was not like a full-blown mullet, but no, there was definitely some mullet going on there.
Oh, I wish I could see Ed Stetzer.
I have a picture. So listen, so if we play music, like if we only play a few seconds, it's not like a violation of copyright, right?
I don't think so.
Okay, so
they're going to be listening to this.
So this is one of the greatest songs that recently was on The Bachelor. And people don't appreciate Air Supply as much as I think they should appreciate Air Supply.
That's all.
Man. All right. So to our question, it's a great one. In 3 years, going to New England to plant a church. So let's listen in.
Hi, Daniel, Todd, and Ned. This is Jacob Van Sickle. I'm from Des Moines, Iowa. And in 3 years' time, I plan to move with a team to New England, Providence, Rhode Island, to plant a church. My question is this. So when should I start raising funds for that endeavor? I do college ministry, which we're also hoping to do in Rhode Island. So I have some support already raised, but when should I really full force throw myself at raising support for a church? Thank you.
Man, I'm so grateful that he's going to Rhode Island.
Isn't that cool?
Yes.
Do you know, wait, geography moment. Do you know the full name of the state of Rhode Island?
No.
You know, I try to give you, I mean, it's up by Canada. Anyway, people will Google it. It's Rhode Island and Providence Plantations is the official name of the state of Rhode Island.
So, are you serious?
Yes, that's the name. So look it up. It's not Rhode Island. It's just, who wants to say Rhode Island and Providence Plantations every day? So.
Huh. That is fascinating. I did not know that. Yeah. No, it is. Yeah. It is interesting. You know, actually, yeah, I'm not going to embarrass myself here, but let's go for it.
I think it'd be good. What were you going to say? Go ahead, put it out there. Don't be afraid. Put it out there.
I didn't realize how close Rhode Island was to Boston.
Yeah.
In Connecticut.
Yeah,
I thought it was north.
People like fly. Well, you're Canadian, so you're not supposed to be geographically up on all the states. But Rhode Island, there's a Providence, Rhode Island is where like Southwest has their where they fly in and out of. So a lot of people go to Boston, fly to Providence, Rhode Island, and that's how a lot of people know. So there you go.
So where's more unchurched, Rhode Island or Maine?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. I would think, you know, Rhode Island was actually a Baptist stronghold, First Baptist
really?
Church of America. Well, First Baptist Church of America is in Providence, Rhode Island.
Okay.
And it's kind of where that all starts. So I would guess probably Maine, but I can't, I'm going to look it up. But I don't know off the top of my head. But both, I mean, the Northeast is the most unchurched, you know, region of the country.
Sure.
People sometimes think it's the Northwest. It's not. Hmm. It's not. And so, but I can't, let me see. Let's see, most unchurched states. So, but anyway, let's get into his question, which we've kind of forgotten now. Oh, you know, there's a Wikipedia article
when did you start
now
raising
called
funds?
the unchurched belt. That's like a thing. Let's see. It looks like Maine is more irreligious. So Vermont is the most irreligious state in the country. It looks like Maine is number two.
Yeah. Okay.
So looking at, I'm just looking at a map. So with the color codes, but that's okay. Good. Sorry.
There you go. So, okay. So fundraising. Three years. He's going to be moving to Rhode Island.
Yeah.
When should he start raising funds? Also, well, I mean, the fact that it's unchurched means it's likely going to be possibly a little bit more difficult to get to self-sustainability, right?
Yeah, for sure. And I would say that, you know, when you look at 3 years, man, it's one of those things where we don't have details. It's not like the live shows we did at Exponential. But, you know, do people know that he's going in 3 years? Mm. So I'm assuming yes. I mean, he just asked it on a podcast. So so let's assume they know. So if they know that you're going to be gone in 3 years, I think mentioning it is fine for the first 2 years. But I think the last year is when you begin to say, hey, listen, even, you know, like let's say it's you and me and I'm going to, hey, you know, and Daniel, I'm going to go plant a church in 3 years. I'm going to give you a call about a year out and see if you can help us. So yeah, that's kind of how I would kind of frame that. And I think doing it that way, it's, you're in a sense, you're raising those funds all 3 years. But to get people to ask to give beforehand is kind of difficult because for one thing, you're doing a ministry now and you probably need to stay doing that ministry now.
That's a really good point. Right. I like the idea of getting people prepared for it, for talking about it, asking people to also pray for you with it, because part of raising funds is, I mean, you're not just going after their wallets, right? I mean, you want them to be partners. You want them to be as invested in you, in praying with you, praying for you, and possibly even going with you. So most people probably won't be able to make a decision right away. Immediately, especially if you just say, hey, can you come or can you give us money? But if you're priming it, if you're developing the relationship, and for the last 2 years, they've heard of you researching and going, and maybe you even want to challenge them. Hey, you want to come for a vision trip with me? Let's pray together. And then you make the ask a year out. I think that makes a lot of sense rather than doing 3 years of fundraising, because I think that could be tiresome for others, but really tiring for you as the planter.
Yeah. And I would just say, I'm agreeing with you, but I wouldn't say, don't be afraid to mention it that, hey, and I'll be swinging back around, you know, a year out. Because again, it's going to be difficult to raise funds. Rhode Island is not cheap. Those Providence plantations are expensive. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing to be aware of is, you know, don't say no for people. I think that's a principle just within church life, right? When you're asking your congregation to invite non-Christians to your church, to an event, you know, don't say no for people. But really, when it comes to fundraising, that's so much more important, because oftentimes the individuals who you think probably can't afford to support you might support you the most compared to those who are like, man, that guy's driving a Tesla and he has a F-350 and
yeah,
he has a couple houses and he's only going to give me a one-time gift of $100, not even recurring. How does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. Nice. Let that bitterness flow. We want to sow a seed of bitterness in all church planters. This is all you're going to give?
Yeah. So, Ed, what are some of your other thoughts around moving and fundraising, especially when people aren't there? Because in a sense, it's parachute planting, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So moving and fundraising. I think ultimately, it is an odd situation where you're 3 years away from knowing you're going to plant a church. I don't think I've ever heard that before.
Yeah.
And so it is kind of an odd situation. So you might have to find some explanation about why that is, you know, and just kind of say that, you know, we believe the Lord's called us here. I don't want people to think that you're not fully committed to your current ministry or that it's kind of a short-termer's attitude. So I would say just be careful to communicate that well, that these are sequential steps. I'm 3 years committed here, and then I'm going to be going on here doing this, and here's how we're going to stay connected. And I would say that would be probably the best and easiest thing to do. What would you add?
Yeah, completely. And I mean, in addition to that, I would just say be aware of who you're asking. And if you're asking everyone within your church, does your church support you? Right? He's doing college ministry now, so he's probably not the lead pastor. So does the lead pastor know? Hopefully they are sending you out, right? Hopefully they're doing that. But I mean, if you're going around asking everyone within the college ministry to begin supporting you, I mean, that's something that I think you really need to work out with the lead pastor, because sometimes, especially these days, people will just be like, oh yeah, that's fine. I'll just redirect my tithes and offerings from the church to you instead.
Oh, that's going to make you good friends at the church. Yeah. So, and also too, it is interesting. One of the years ago, I think my second church plant, I tried to raise some funds from the church where I came to Christ in, and which was a different denomination, than the one that I was planting with. So and it was interesting. They were like, nah, you got a new denomination now. Go get money from them. So you got to make sure there's alignment between the two. Yeah. And I do think it's kind of key that you make sure that there's full support. So let's go back to the first question. The first question that he asked was, you know, what do I need to do about 3 years of fundraising? Nothing if the church you're in and working in is not supportive. So, I think that changes the whole scenario, or doesn't know, you know, so I think they really do need to know.
Yeah, that's really good. That's really good. Now, before we get to our last point on some best practices around fundraising, just a quick word from our sponsor. You know, training your volunteers and leaders is important, but do you ever feel like you don't know where to start? Well, that's why Lifeway Leadership developed Ministry Grid. With Ministry Grid's library of over 3,000 training videos, the work has been done for you, and you'll be able to train everyone in your church. And this is training you can trust. Each Ministry Grid video features an experienced ministry leader who has been where you are now. And you can even customize the training by adding videos, PDFs, YouTube videos, and more. And now, Ministry Grid has one price that gives you unlimited access to train your entire church. That's one price, one plan, unlimited access. Just go to ministrygrid.com to learn more. Once again, that's ministrygrid.com. Now back to the podcast. All right. So Ed, what would you, if you were sitting down with the church planner and you just had a few minutes and they were like, man, give me some best practices on fundraising, what comes to the top of your mind?
Well, I think ultimately, I like Bill Dylan's people raising. I think that's been super helpful for me.
Okay.
Is that fundraising takes place in the context of relationship, where somebody cares about what you care about, believes in what you believe in, and wants to support that. So I think that, and Dylan kind of talked about, that's why it's called people raising, not fundraising. So I would say, build up. You know, and gosh, I mean, we can't do fundraising training on a podcast, but, you know, build up a database, you know, send people a letter that you're going to ask them, then go plan to ask face to face, you know, all the things that are best practices in church planning fundraising, which are, you know, written about in much more detail than we're going to do probably in a 20-minute podcast.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, completely. So we'll make sure to put some of that in the show notes as well. And on newchurches.com, we have a ton of resources, ready-to-use resources, templates as a part of Plus membership that'll help you in your fundraising, along with ebooks that come along with that as well. So be sure to check that out. We'll put that all in the show notes. And thank you again for listening in. Be sure to check out the EST podcast, Micah Freeze. We formerly worked together with him. Do you still connect with Micah?
Yeah. He owes me money. So I always talk to Micah. So I don't know if he'll listen to this, but he literally owes me money. So he's if you see it, if you listen to the podcast, make sure you tweet at Micah Freeze and then go from there. So.
Okay. And Ed, the next time when Micah pays you back, maybe you can use that money to send me my luggage back.
Luggage? Did I steal your luggage? Oh, that was your old beat up luggage, wasn't it?
It wasn't beat up. It wasn't.
So I stole your luggage? Wait. On this note, we're going to get off the podcast and find out how did I steal Daniel M's luggage. Thank you for joining us this week.
Thanks, guys.
The New Churches podcast.